All right, good morning, everybody. It's October 12th. It's a beautiful autumn day. We're supposed to get up to about 70 today. It's sunny. The leaves are changing. It's just a marvelous day. And today I want to teach on one source of truth. So there's like I don't know if everybody knows what I do for work. I'm what's called... Yes, I'm recording. I don't know if everybody knows what I do for work, but I am a BIM manager at an architectural firm, and what that means is I manage the computer system and a lot of the things, and I set up... So when people want to do something, we set up standards, and when you do that, you want to have one source of truth. You don't want to have somebody looking here and somebody else looking here. And you want one source of truth so you, everybody does it the same way. And, well, when it comes to the Bible and it comes to, well, when it comes to the things of God, the Bible is our one source of truth. And so let's go to John. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Because we were talking before fellowship, people were talking about various things that Christians believe that aren't true. And it's because they don't adhere to the one source of truth. So let's start in chapter 17. We'll start in verse chapter 17, verse 13. Now I am come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them, he's praying to God here, I have given them thy word. So he's given the people that follow him the word of God. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. So he said, God's saying, Jesus Christ is saying, God, Father God, don't take these guys out of the world. They're in the world. They need to be in the world, but protect them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And here it goes, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. That's our one source of truth. Now, there's a lot of people that will teach that the Bible says this or the Bible says that, and there's people that translate it wrong and things like that. So sometimes it takes a little bit of work to get to the truth, but for the most part, the Bible, even King James, it's, you just read what King James says and it makes sense, and you don't really need a concordance. You don't need to do a lot of research. It's just kind of laid out right there. And that, as thou hast sent me, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And let's see, how much of this do I want to read? Yeah, I think I'll go to verse 23. Let's go to verse 21 here. Here we go. This is a good one. Well, let's read verse 20. We'll get the context. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus Christ spoke the word, and some people believe the word he said. Then he taught his disciples. They taught people, and some people believed on Jesus Christ through their word. And here we are a couple thousand years later, and there's been people, you know, you know, somebody like 500 years, we might not be here if somebody 500 years ago hadn't witnessed to somebody or spoke the word or said, well, you know, God's good. Healing's available. And verse 21, that they might all be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also might be one in us. See, people say, you know, some people will say, well, you know, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Well, what's it say in this verse? And they use that as a proof of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's it say here? I and thee, and they might be one in us, that the world may also believe that thou hast sent me. In verse 22, and the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So if being one with God makes you God, then we're also God. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm really not qualified to be God. I am not all-powerful, and I am not all-knowing. You know, sometimes I even have trouble reading King James. If I was God, I could do that perfectly. In verse 23, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and has also loved me. So, we're known by our fruits. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5.
Second what?
2 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 5. In verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and was honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor. He had everything going on in his life was great, except he was a leper. Now, in our day and time, if you have leprosy, you could go to the doctor and they could give you an antibiotic and it would actually kill the bacteria that causes leprosy and you would get better. They didn't know that back in this time, and they didn't really have a treatment for it. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So Syria had gone to war with Israel and they won the war. And so what they would do back then is when you won the war, you would take some of the people back to be your servants. And that was just the way things worked in, you know, a couple thousand years ago. And verse 3, and she said to her mistress, I gotta love King James here, would God my Lord, who talks like that? Nobody talks like that. Would God my Lord were with, well, what's it really saying? And really, a better translation, she said, would be like, oh, that my Lord were with before the prophet of God in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. That's a better translation of that. I often make the joke that I think one of the translators for King James Bible was Yoda, but I can't prove it. So I do see evidence like this verse that makes me think that might be so. And one went in and told his lord, thus and thus said the little maid of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took the letter with him and 10 talents and this, all this gold and this and that. Now, wait a minute. Well, first of all, you don't have to be an ordained clergy to speak the word. You don't have to have way core training. You don't have to have a whole bunch of classes. You don't have to have, you know, anybody. God can give revelation to anybody that's born again. Now, that obviously, this is in the Old Testament before it was available to get born again. But she was just a very simple woman, and she was just an ordinary person that was working as a servant in this house of Naaman here. And I'm thinking, I was watching some videos. World War II was a very unique conflict, and you know, it happened like, you know, what was it, about 60, 80 years ago or whatever it was. Anyway, I was watching this video, and there was our troops had landed in France, and they took the beachhead, and they got hung up in what was called hedgerows. And a hedgerow is, they would have fields, and instead of having like here, like a fence with posts and stuff, they'd have these old, because Europe's a lot older than the United States, and so they had these hedgerows. It was like, it may have started out as a small stone wall or just a hedge, and it got all this big, they'd be like 20 feet tall, and they'd be real thick, and the troops were get bogged down and couldn't get through it. And there was this one guy who figured out a solution, and he took a damaged tank, and he started welding these girders. When they landed on the beach, the Germans had put these steel girders on the beach to stop tanks and stuff. So he would cut these steel girders with a torch, and these big things would be pointing like this and pointing down like this. There'd be all these steel girders. And then after he did that, it took him like 2 days to do this. And then he drove one of the tanks, and it would go right through the hedgerow. And these girders on the front would help, like, poke through and help him get through the thing. And now it's interesting that this innovation did not come from one of the generals. It didn't come from somebody higher up in the hierarchy. It came from just an ordinary mechanic who just had an idea, and he implemented it. And then the major saw it, and he saw it, and he reported it to the general. And next thing you know, the general said, well, we need 5,000 tanks outfitted like that so we can move into France and then eventually into Germany. And I think about that with this little woman. You know, she wasn't a priest in the temple. She wasn't a prophet. She wasn't an apostle, or, you know, they didn't have apostles back then, but she was just an ordinary person. And a lot of times the great things in life happen with just ordinary people, can just speak the word. And I bet, we were talking about that when I was praying. A lot of us might not be here if it wasn't for somebody 100 years ago or 500 years ago or something that spoke the word. And I have a grandfather that I never met. You know, if you see my guitar up over here, yeah, there you go, hanging on the wall. That's an old cheap guitar that I got on my 16th birthday a long time ago. And I had my grandfather, who, like I said, I never met. He used to follow, they had these tent meetings. He would follow around, and he would play guitar at these tent meetings. And so there's things that God put in place to put us, God said manifestations before our parents were even born, before this world was here, he called us. And so,
is that like cause and effect?
Yes, cause and effect, yes. And it's like a ripple. When we speak the word, it's like we throw a stone in the pond, those ripples go out. Now, it's not like we don't throw a big boulder in a pond, there's this big tidal wave or something. It's just little things, but that's how God works. And the previous section, you know, Jesus was praying to the Father, you know, said, you know, as I'm saying, you know, sanctify them through your word. You know, the world hates me. The world also hates them. Protect them from evil. And again, now there's a little thing here that this maid did that we see later on in this verse, or this chapter, I'm sorry, that Naaman gets healed, and he gets healed of his leprosy. And it was all because this little woman, she could have just said, oh, he's an unbeliever. He just deserves to have leprosy. You know, they don't worship the one true God. You know, they got what's coming to them. No, she had compassion on him, and she spoke the word. So let's keep reading here. So what did they do is, you know, and now what you, when you get the, first of all, God's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who speaks the word as long as it gets spoken. And then if you change the word, you no longer have the word. So what he did there is, in verse 5, is the king of Syria, he said, well, instead of sending Naaman to the prophet, he's going to send him to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, you know, wasn't the guy that's going to do the healing. In verse 6, he brought the letter to the king of Israel. He said, now when this letter's come unto thee, I there was sent my servant, Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. You know, and the king of Israel wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a healer. He wasn't equipped to do that. In verse 7, the king of Israel read the letter, and he says, wait a minute, I'm not God. He said, I know this guy. He's kind of, he wants to start a war. That's why he did this. He sent this guy here, and when I can't heal him, he figures he'll start a war. In verse 8, so Elisha, the man of God, he heard what was going on. And he heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, and he says, hey, man, I'd like to get some nice clothes like that. Where did he rent those? You know, the robes? And Now, rent his clothes, that's an Orientalism. That means you tore something. It's like here, I do this, I rent that piece of paper in two. That's what it was. And one of the things you would do if, can you go see what's going on? Whatever there's, somebody rang our doorbell. Whatever they're selling, we don't want any. So the whole thing with renting clothes was a sign of anger. So when he heard the king of Israel rent his clothes, and then he figured, sorry, with that disruption there, I lost my train of thought here. He said, oh, you know what? He said, let him come to me now, and he'll see there's a prophet in Israel. So verse 9, Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and all this stuff. You know, basically all that stuff he brought, you know, he had all this wealth and gifts, and that was sort of protocol. But it was worth, it was probably worth, like, in our money, in our today's time, it'd probably be worth like $1 million worth of stuff. It wasn't like he brought, you go to the gift store and you get a little keychain with your somebody's name on it for $3, or I guess they probably could charge $10 now. Everything's got more expensive. And so he's out there, he's got all this stuff, and he's out at the, you know, he made this big trip, and first he went to the king, and then the king was the wrong destination. Then he came to the prophet, and he's got all this entourage and all these gifts. And what does Elijah do? You know, you think Elijah put on his best clothes and go out and meet the foreign dignitary. No, he just, and Elijah sent out a messenger saying, if you just go over that dirty river over there, Jordan, and you dip in it, wash in it 7 times, your flesh will come clean, and he goes back in the house. And Naaman was, he was pissed. I'm taking liberties with King James here. And he went away, and he thought, surely he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand over and recover. He said, these rivers where I come from, they're all nice and clean, and the Jordan's dirty, muddy river. In verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him. He said, my father, if the prophet asked you to do something, he said, look, the prophet said you got to cut off your left foot to get rid of the leprosy. You probably would have done it, huh? And how much rather, he says, go wash in the Jordan and be clean. So, verse 4, he went and dipped himself seven times according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came clean like a little child. So, again, there's one source of truth. It's the Word of God. Now, in this case, it wasn't the written word, it was the spoken word. And it started first, who got the ball rolling was just an ordinary little person, you know, just the lowest person in the household, the one that was doing the laundry and washing the clothes and cleaning the floors and preparing meals. And she spoke the word, and then the prophet spoke the word, and then Naaman believed it, acted on it, and he got delivered. So let's go to 2 Peter, all the way at the other end of the Bible. So, let's see. Whoops, I went. Yeah. There we go. It's after James. So, 2 Peter, and I'm in, yeah, we are, I'm in the right place. Chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and God. Now, how has he done that? Well, through the Word of God. That's how. He's given us the Word. And it said in, what does it say in verse 2? Knowledge. You get the knowledge of God by looking at the Word of God. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving to us exceeding great and precious promises. What was it somebody went through, and there's like over 1,000 promises in the Word of God? And you know what? It's we were taught, remember, those of us took the old PFAL class, there was a thing, section in there where he was teaching sonship rights. And he taught certain things. Well, I got some information for you. I got something to tell you, that every single promise in the Word of God is one of your sonship rights. How's that? So, as it's our right as a son of God to have those promises come to pass in our life. Whereby by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence to your faith, and to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness and charity. If these things be in you and you abound, you shall not be barren. In other words, you'll bear fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, you know, if people that don't know, we need to have the knowledge of God. We need to know, we need to have our one source of truth. Because the people that don't have the one source of truth, They lack us these things and are blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, people just revert back to what they were before they got born again. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know, that's when God says we were called, he also says there was an election, we were elected. You know what? That's an election that doesn't get cheated. And you know what? If God votes for us, who can be against us? We win that. We vote with God, we win that election. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So for an entrance shall be ministered to you unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I, wherefore, I will not be negligent to always put you in remembrance of these things, that ye know them and be established in the present truth. And the present truth is, again, the Word of God. The Word of God is it's truth that's always present with us. All right, let me skip a couple verses. Verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. You know, people say, oh, that the Bible's just mythology. Or here Paul is saying the Bible is not cunningly devised fables. And what's another way that could be translated is skillfully developed and perpetrated legends. You know, it's not mythology. The Bible's not mythology. Now, it's interesting, if you go to, especially like Genesis 6 and earlier, there's a lot of information left out. And I have seen where sometimes people will, research people will try and fill in the information that's left out. But you know, if God leaves information out, it's left out. You know, it's like, how old is the earth? Well, it says in the beginning. Research people have said, you know, in the Dark Ages, there was a Catholic research guy that said, the earth is 6,000 years old. Well, it's not 6,000 years old. It was started in the beginning. But people always try and fill in the blanks. You know, if God left it blank, then, you know, there's... It says in the Word, we see through a glass darkly. We don't understand it all. We don't need to know it all. And our brain can't contain it. This little thing here is not... We can't contain all the truth. So, verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, where came such a voice... To him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is a reference to when the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus Christ was transfigured before some of the apostles. And verse 18, and this voice came from heaven, which we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. What can be more sure than hearing the voice of God speak audibly? What is more sure than that? It's the written word of God. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. And we know that that word private there is idios. It's like, we get the word idiom from that. Idiom is the way somebody might speak. It's a way that people speak in a certain area. And... some areas will have an idiom that they'll use and speak one way. You go to another part of the world and you start talking that way and it makes no sense. Like before, when I was talking about the king of Israel rent his clothes, you know, that to us that makes no sense. But when you understand the cultural background, then it makes sense. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. You know, it's interesting because I do these Bible fellowships and I put teachings together, and sometimes I decide, oh, I want to go here and teach this, and then I start putting it together and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's because, oh, God wants me to do this. And then, like last week, we did the, I had a teaching put together, and then while we were, had the people talking before the meeting between 10:30 and 11, God showed me that I needed to teach something completely different, you know, and so I was teaching about, we had that, because we had to respond to that terrible thing the devil did where he assassinated Charlie Kirk, and, you know, that's hurtful when you see wonderful believers get assassinated like that. It's evil when that sort of thing happens. And it's like, you know, when there's a death, you know, people need to be comforted from death, you know, and the word is comforting. And like I was looking at Friday night, I was looking at trying to put a teaching together and just wasn't working. And then finally, God says, oh, God showed me in the shower what I was supposed to teach. And, you know, when I put it together, real easy. Okay, this, and it works real good. And, you know, and that's the way the Word of God comes. And you don't get people by the will of man said, I'm, you know, Moses said, I'm going to write the book of Genesis. And, you know, it doesn't work. But holy men of God spake, and first of all, spake is a figure of speech. It's spoke and wrote. Because sometimes it's spoken, sometimes it's written. As they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So, this Bible, it didn't get to us by the will of man. It is our one source of truth. And by following the Word, that's people can get healed. And we're all imperfect humans, and we all need healing. You know, we're all getting older every day, and our body wears out, and we need healing. We need love. We need protection. Remember, Jesus Christ prayed for his apostles that God would protect them from evil. We need to be protected from evil. There is evil out there. And so we need to come to our one source of truth. And it's the Word of God. Whether it's written or spoken, it's still got to be the Word of God. And we got to make sure that Word of God is not polluted or watered down with private interpretation. And when we speak it, we don't want to pollute it or water it down with private interpretation either. We want it to be the truth. So that's what I had to share today. And so, Father, I'll pray, and then we'll have a little discussion, and then we're going to have a nice meal. We got some meat we're going to cook on the grill, and those of you that aren't here, I'm sorry you're not here, but you'll have to make your own lunch, I guess. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful Word, and thank you that we can have one source of truth, that we can go to the Word of God, and we can know that thy Word is truth. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.